Nehemiah chapter 1. We are going to read some verses here, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to be starting in verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Here we read the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in Kislew in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah. And I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, work on our hearts as we look at these verses, Lord, look at this topic. Lord, please give me the wisdom that I need, the words, Lord, the heart, fire that you've taught me these things, Lord. Work on each one of the hearts of the people today, Lord, and the people at home. I pray, Lord, that you please help us to change. Help us to learn from these words. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read here of Nehemiah. This is when the Israelites were in captivity with Nebuchadnezzar. That time when the 70 years that God said that they are going to be in captivity. And here we read about Nehemiah, the first chapter of Nehemiah, verse 2. Let's read that, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Tonight we're going to be looking at men who had the love for the people. We're going to be looking at different men in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who had love for people. Here we read verse 2, that Nehemiah asked them. Men came unto him, and Nehemiah asked them about the people. This, I could say this for sure, this didn't just happen to come up. This conversation didn't just come out of the blue. Didn't just meet him and say, oh, what about these people of ours? No. He had it. He was inside. He was crying for them. He was wondering about them. He hadn't heard about them. And when someone came up to him from this area, he asked them. What did he ask? He asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which had left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He specifically wanted to know why. Why did he want to know about this? Because he loved the people. He was worrying about them. We read in verse 3 the answer that they gave. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. That's not good news. That's not good news. And we see from verse 4 through verse 11, Nehemiah's heart. He didn't just shun it off. Read verse 4 with me. And it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words right away. There's three main actions he did. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down. What does it mean to sit down? I can say, tell you for sure, he didn't sit down just because he was tired. He didn't sit down because his legs were hurting. When we are in conversation with someone, when we have good or bad news, what do we say a lot of times? Are you sitting down? Why do we say that? Because Sometimes when good or bad news comes, our heart, our body just gives way. What do we read about Nehemiah? When he heard the horrible things that were happening in Jerusalem, what did he do? Sat down. That's the first action. Sat down. He wasn't tired, but his heart was so heavy that he couldn't hold himself up. He had to sit down. What's the second thing we read? He wept. He wept. What does it mean to weep? It's not just having tears in the eyes, feeling sorrowful, but it's an action. Weeping means uncontrollable crying. Weeping, because why? Because he heard about this people. So he sat down and wept. Sat down and wept. Second action. Sat down was the first and wept. When was the last time we wept for our people? Because, not just because maybe something horrible, but because out of love. When was the last time we got on our knees before the Lord and wept for the people? When was the last time, if it's ever happened, that you wake up in the middle of the night weeping, crying, or you're reading God's word, or you just start thinking about a people and you start weeping? You know, this is what God has had to show me again. Living in Russia, I started becoming comfortable with life. God had to break me. Being back here, seeing the people, seeing the great sin, it's not just here, it's everywhere. God broke my heart for the people again. I needed it. Because you can't serve people if you don't love them. They will know off from you if you love them. They will see that. When was the last time you've wept for people? Not just unsaved, but for the saved, for the brethren. When you hear, when we take all these prayer requests, and you hear about someone that's struggling, you hear about someone that's sick, and we just, a lot of times what happens is we are sitting here, we say, amen. But here, nothing's changed. We're not weeping. We're not sorrowful. Maybe we're sorrowful, but there's a difference between sadness on the outside. If there's nothing here, that's not love. These are only two actions. We have only read through four verses. Here, and it says, when I heard these things, these words, I sat down. First action, main action. Third, second, I wept. Third main action, mourned certain days. What does mourning mean? To feel or express sorrow or grief over something. To grieve or lament over something. Over people. Over something. I hope we're not mourning because our vehicle broke down or something. I hope we're mourning, we're weeping of the people that need the Lord, of brethren, of sisters that are struggling. Mourning. This time that he wept and mourned wasn't temporary. It wasn't like sometimes ours is. It's a couple minutes, a couple hours, maybe a day. What does it say here? He mourned certain days. Days. Do we have that type of heart? Do I have that type of heart that we can continue? We love so much that we mourn and weep certain days. It doesn't say how many here, but this kind of shows what his heart is like. Men who love the Lord. Nehemiah loved the people. It shows by his actions. shows what he did when he heard the news about Israel, about Jerusalem. Here, and it says, mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord of heaven. When we see someone struggling, do we bring it before the Lord? Do we stand on our knees, sit down, lay down? God doesn't care how we pray. Make sure that's from the heart. You know, people know if you love them. The unsaved people will know if you love them. When they are talking with you and all you're doing is talking, is that love? No. Sometimes if you're telling about Christ, yes, you need to. But there is a time for listening. Loving is not just talking. It's not just something here. We need to show it. And the people will see it. If it's not here, it won't. People will see that. If it's here, people will see that. For people will know how much we love them by our actions. It won't be all words. We can say all we love, I love you, I love you, I love you, but if we don't show that, that doesn't mean anything. I've had a couple instances. I'm only 20 years old. Yet God has given me ability to help some young men. We're in North Dakota at a church. And there was a young guy that came to me after services and just started talking. We talked for about 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. I just listened. He asked my advice. I'm only 20 years old. He was older than me, or about my age. I loved him. Why? Because he was a brother. I saw he struggled. He told me everything about his life. People don't just come up to you and just tell everything about their life. They can see if you love them. We need to show that love. Here, Nehemiah, it shows his love. The love that he had for the people. He sat down, he wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's read his prayer. Because this prayer, we can take something from this prayer, each one of us. This prayer shows his love towards the people. It shows his heart. Let's read verse 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye can transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were as of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. That prayer, he's brokenhearted praying this prayer. He first acknowledges who God was, says here, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Acknowledging who God is. Who God is. This is not just applicable then. It's applicable now. Verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Confess the sins of children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And then we read what happened, because this actually happened. I preached this in Russia once, teaching about this, where where was it? 1 Samuel 9 or that, where I think 2 Samuel. I forgot, sorry. But where God says, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do this, I'll curse you and you'll go into captivity. That happened twice. Twice, main parts. One was where they started sinning, and he sent them as servants, as captives. And then Nebuchadnezzar. So we look at Nehemiah, his heart. We're going to be looking at a couple more men who had the heart, who had loved the people. We're going to be coming back here in chapter Nehemiah, but please turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. We're going to be reading here now of Moses. Moses. What love he must have had to spend so much time with the Israelite people, to lead them through many, many, many years. His mercy and long-suffering he must have had for that people. We're going to be reading here 32 verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which is in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it into a molten calf, and set. And they said, this be thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, and to drink, and rose up to play. It's crazy. Amen. Why would they do this? They saw God's works. They saw how God had kept them safe, had provided for them. They wanted something different. They saw that Moses, he's not coming back. Let's stop serving God. Let's build our own molten calf. Let's build our own idol, our own God. They asked Aaron and he listened. That should not be our heart. That should not be like us as Aaron. He was a servant of God. He served God and he listened. But we read farther here. Verse 7. The Lord speaks unto Moses. Moses is still there. Moses is still up on that mountain. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Now, I will make of thee a great nation. Of who? Of Moses. Right. A great nation. God, you can't hide anything from God. As it says here, he knew that they were, what they were doing. Right. And he says, what did he say to Moses? I've seen this, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. They deserve that. Worldly, they deserve that. Praise the Lord for God's mercy. I can say that. Praise the Lord for God's mercy. Praise the Lord for men who will lead us and have long-suffering with us. Because I can tell you, we're not perfect. As a church, we're not perfect as the Israelites weren't. We sin. We go against God. Yet God has given us a pastor, as Pastor Burke, our pastor, the long-suffering and mercy to bear with us as we grow. And here, the Lord's saying, move out of the way. Let me destroy them. Let me consume them with fire. This wasn't the first time they do this. It's not very easy to provoke God to anger. He has mercy. He has long suffering. It's not that easy. But this was not the first time. Brother Jeff Huggins, I think you're going through the life of Moses, right? And I can, there's so many instances before this that they provoked God. They did all they could. They murmured. They fought against Moses. Fighting against God, man, is fighting against God. But he still had mercy. And here, when Lord said, get out of the way, let me do my thing, Moses just didn't step out of the way. Right. No. He loved the people. Right. He loved them so much that he stood before God himself and pleaded for mercy. He besought the Lord. Here we read verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. Moses, I don't know, it doesn't say how he, but if I was standing before the living God praying, I would fall on my knees. Fall on my knees before God and pray. What did he pray? He said, have mercy. What would the Egyptians say? What would your enemies say if you just destroyed them? He loved the people so much, even though they sinned like this, he loved them. If he didn't love them, if someone was in his place that did not love them, what would have then stepped aside? Whatever, you do what you want. You're God. You're the Almighty God. You know everything. That's not how a loving person normally would act. No. What he besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax old? And what did the Lord do? Verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, the two tables of testimony in his hand, and the tables were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And you can read farther. Here we're just reading to verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Read through Exodus, Genesis. Read through Exodus. Read through Numbers. And you'll see many more instances. We're going to read of one more of Moses. But the love he must have had for that people that sinned so much, that murmured against Moses, against God. Do we have that love? Do I have that love? I can say, not as much love. I strive to have that much love. I strive to have as much love as Christ did on this earth when he loved so much that when the disciples said, send the multitude, send them away, he saw their plight. He had compassion on them. He loved them so much. We see that through his life. We see through the life of Paul the love that he had. When the brethren said things against him, he still had mercy on them, long-suffering. This is one instance. There's so many more that they murmured against Moses. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter number 14. Here we read, we're not going to be reading all these verses because there's a lot in these. It's a longer chapter and we're not going to be reading all this, but I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 right now, and then we read verse 11. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, verse 1, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. I can tell you, verse 1, the people wept that night. It was not the weeping that Nehemiah had. They wept because the context of this is when the 12 spies that Moses sent out came back and told him about this. 10 of the spies told, there's giants, we can never defeat them. And Joshua and Caleb says, yes, with the Lord's help, we can defeat them. What did they do when they heard this? They wept all night because they were afraid. I don't know. Did they forget that they have Almighty God? I don't know. But verse 11, let's read in verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I showed among them? That's true. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Again, they provoked him to anger. Provoked him to the point where he was ready to consume and destroy his people for their sin, for their complaining, for their murmuring. We do that as well. We complain sometimes. God has mercy on us. Our pastor has mercy on us. Here says, he says, I will smite them with the pestilence. I will make a greater nation out of you, Moses. And again, shows Moses' love towards the people. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in pillar of cloud and pillar of fire by night. His fame, the Lord's fame, the Lord's power, his hand was seen everywhere. To the point when the Israelites went over the Jordan. The people were afraid. Afraid that the Israelites are coming. Why? It wasn't because of their might. Because of the Lord's might. Right. Here we, again, we see Moses standing in front of the Lord, standing between the Lord and the Israelites, saying, God, please don't do this. Right. His love towards the people. Here it says, now if thou, verse 15, now if thou shalt kill all his this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilt, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Isn't that verse a blessing? Isn't that true? Soros says, the Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. and by no means clearing the guilt, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And it continues on. We read in this chapter 14, 1 through 4, it tells about the people were so afraid, and murmured. I'm just going to give a quick overview of what are written in these. Verse 1 and 4, the people were so afraid and murmured against the Lord, saying, "If he should have just killed us." Verse 5 through 10, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb fell on their faces before the assembly and besought them not to go against God. That's verse 5 and 10. They said, don't do this. Verse 11 through 19, this is another example of how the Lord wanted to destroy the people. But the Lord had mercy. Why? Because of the love of Moses, that he stood before God, he prayed, he besought him. He loved them so much. Do we have the love of Moses had for this people? Could we spend years upon years and continually love every day, every hour as people? That's almost impossible. But with God, this we read of a man who did. Man who loved the people so much that he had long suffering upon the people this long. Verse 20 through 25 is God's answer to Moses. You can read this at home. So we've read men who loved the people so much, Nehemiah. They literally wept, sat down, wept, mourned certain days. The heart that he had. Moses, quickly read about Samuel. His whole life is an example of the love he had towards people. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Quickly read. First Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, that they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. They were tired. They were tired of not having a king that they could see. The Lord did more, better job of taking care of them than a king would. But they wanted a physical person. They didn't want God anymore. They wanted a physical person. And what Samuel's heart? The thing displeased Samuel. I would say it troubled him. He was sorrowful when they asked about this. And it says, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I have brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto me. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Hear these words, God said unto him, For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Same thing with Samuel. When the people murmured against Moses, they were murmuring against God. They rejected God here. But his love still continued to the words of people. He still served the people throughout his days. He still served the people. Why? Because he loved them. He loved them. Open with me, please, to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. We're going to only read one verse here, but it shows a lot. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, the Lord's talking to Jeremiah, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be towards his people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me. That says a lot about those two men. That God could even say, even though these two men stood before me, I could not turn my eyes to these people. What does that say about those two men? Does it say that they slacked off? No. Does it say that they didn't have love, that they just did what they want? No. What does it show? Their heart. And this was not a one-time thing. This did not show, say that one time they loved, once they loved. God wouldn't say that about a person like that. But they had long-suffering. Terpenia. I keep on wanting to say the Russian word. Long-suffering. Day after day after day after day. To the point where God could say, if they stood before me, if these men of God stood before me, I could not. What did it say? Yet my mind could not be towards his people. Cast them out of my sight. And let them go forth. It shows the love of these two men. That they continued on. They continued faithfully on. There's other ones you could read. Ezra, where the people sinned. He fell on his face before God and prayed. If you can read that, Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, it shows, and continue, Ezra chapter 9, it shows the heart of Ezra. You can read about Christ. You can read about Paul. You can read about many other people, many other men, David. You could read about all these different people. I would advise you to read because why? Because we need to have love. Do we love the people? Do we love the unsaved so much that we will weep for them? That we'll, it doesn't matter when during the day we think about it and we just want to cry. We just want to say, Lord, help me be able to reach them. Let's turn back. We're going to finish here. Let's turn back to Nehemiah again. Nehemiah. We read the first chapter. Nehemiah chapter 2 this time. Because Nehemiah just doesn't end right there. The book of Nehemiah isn't just one chapter. It continues on. And you can read the whole chapter. Here, it doesn't just finish that he heard about the people, he wept, sat down, wept, his heart was love. It doesn't just finish there. There was something, he did something about it. Read chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid. Just by the words of the king to Nehemiah, he wasn't just a cupbearer to him. And as we read farther, it wasn't just a cupbearer. He was something to this king. Nehemiah was something to this king. And then I was sore afraid, verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, and that thou wouldest send me unto the Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen also sitting by him, For how long shalt thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. When he asked, How long will you be? How long will you be there? It shows that he wasn't just a cupbearer. It was something to this king. But what does Nehemiah says? If it please the king, and if thy servants have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto the Judah, unto the king of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He just didn't finish with the sitting down, weeping before God because of his love towards the people. Love, not all the time, should not end with just words. Should continue on to actions. True love for people, not just unsaved, but the people in our church, the people sitting by you, it should take action, as Nehemiah did. He didn't just stay in Jerusalem, but God, prophecy said that they were going to leave at this time. But Nehemiah took action. He saw the plight of his people, and he took action. He said, he went before the king and he said, send me, and he did. And what did Nehemiah, they built the wall. Right. And there's a total other message on building the wall too. But the love he showed, it wasn't just words, but it was action. God may not be calling you to the mission field. But there is this country, this people. The people, your neighbors. And if you love them, not just in the heart, you'll take action. We go out on visitation. When you talk to a person, do you love them? As it says in 1 John 4, verse 18, I'll read it very quick. 1 John 4, verse 18 says here, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. For we can say, witnessing, going door to door is not my thing. I've said that before, and that was wrong. It's not my thing, but I do it because I need to learn. It says here, maybe we're fearful, maybe we don't have the boldness, but it says here that love casteth out fear. That perfect love casteth out fear. The people behind that door, if you love them, you'll go up to that door and try witnessing to them. If you love the people, your neighbors, the people in the city, you'll go out and do something about it. Love needs to take action. Love for a people we need to take action on that. And with brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you see someone struggling, if you hear about someone struggling, do something about it. If we say we love this people, we love this person, we love the members of our church, when we hear someone struggling, we'll do something about it. We'll go up to them and say, let's talk. What's wrong? I want to know. I want to be able to know how to pray for you better. I want to know if I can see if I can help. That's love. But if we just sit on the pew, hear about all these things, go home, pray about it, that person is going to feel rejected, that nobody loves them. Maybe prayers do a lot before God. But as Brother Mick, you're saying, people text you. People said, we love you, we're praying for you. That does a lot, right? As you understood. It does a lot. Just sending a quick text, talking with the person, does a lot for them. And that will show the love that you have for the person. So we look tonight, men who love the people. That should not be just written here. It should be in our lives. It should be in our heart. It should be what we are doing. each one of us. Doesn't exclude any of you. These verses do not exclude any of us. Not just you, me too. Even if you're not comfortable talking, listen. That's the biggest thing you can do. People, when they have troubles, a lot of times they want to talk about it. Sometimes they want to talk about it. Not all the time. But listen to the people. How much love do you have? Think about that. Think about what we read tonight. Read about these people. And look at yourselves. How much love do you have? Because each one of us needs to have love. Not like the world says romantic. No, nothing like that. Perfect love in Christ. Christ's love.